people go on a 1 hour a day Lashon Hara out, does that mean that at between 12 and 1, no Lashon Hara, and at 1 minute after 1 o'clock, they're looking at their watches, so then they can call their friends and now speak Lashon Hara? No, the hope is that after some time, if you go 1 hour without doing this, that we're not fidgeting and fumbling for some good Lashon Hara now that I spent an hour not doing it. This may be different than other habits. If someone goes 24 hours without smoking a cigarette, which or 25 hours, which all Shomrei Shabbos who are hooked on cigarettes somehow manage to do, right? After Shabbos, I've seen some very religious people very fidgeting, can't wait to get that cigarette after Shabbos is over. So this is what this time of year is, so that hopefully, just hopefully, when the 10 days are over, some of these chumras we've taken upon ourselves, the Shulchan Aruch refers to specific chumras. If this is worthwhile behavior, why just have it for 10 days? If it's not worthwhile behavior, why are we machmir just these days? So we just hope that we balance out. God does not want us to be tens. He wants us to be fives. He wants us to be beinonim. And if we've backslided to be a three, maybe for 2 weeks, or maybe for 40 days, if we become a seven, we'll just settle at being a five. So that's the first issue regarding the liturgy. Those three issues. Now, there's another thing is very much in our minds every day in the morning and afternoon. We're saying a prayer that says, Avinu Malkeinu. Open up a siddur and see that those two words appear in only two brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei. Slach lenu Avinu ki chatonu, machal lenu Malkeinu ki fashanu. Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarasecha, v'kaveinu Malkeinu l'avodasecha. Those two words, Avinu and Malkeinu, never appear again in the Shmoneh Esrei. What's going on with these two brachas? So that's clear that it connects us to this time of year. Because these two brachas are Slach Lanu, forgive us, and Hashiveinu Avinu, and let us return. The other brachas, heal me, give me parnasa, take care of me, these are all nice requests. But these two, to forgive, to let me get a good start, let me get a new start, and to help me return, put away the stumbling blocks and the impediments. The first words of the Haftar of Yom Kippur, very important liturgy, is Solu Solu Panu Derech Harim Michshol. Remove the impediments. Tshuva cannot be done just because we want to do it. If it were that easy, there wouldn't be any alcoholics. There wouldn't be any people overweight. There wouldn't be any people with gambling, sex addictions, or anything else. We'd be able to just resolve all the issues. All we would want is the will. It has to be more than that. You have to have a plan. You have to have a recognize what the impediments are and remove them. I know that's easier said than done also. But it has to be a plan, and plans need help. It's crucial that we're there to help others. So that is, I submit to you that this is true for every day of the year, that we say Avinu Malkeinu, and the source of this is the Gemara in Maseches Tainis. The Gemara says that there was once a drought in Israel and went month after month without rain, and they started to fast, and then Rabbi Eliezer got up to pray and nothing happened. Now, ostensibly, this is the origin of Avinu Malkeinu. Rabbi Akiva got up to say the first three Avinu Malkeinus. And all of a sudden, the clouds gather and it's starting to rain. So the Gemara says, why is it raining for Rabbi Akiva and not for Rabbi Eliezer? And it looks from the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva was just a Talmid at the time, because it says that why is it raining for the Talmid and not for the Rebbe? It could be that they were older, but still, you see a lot of Gemaras, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer seem to be colleagues. That could be a lot later on where Rabbi Kiva became Rabbi Akiva. But this is apparently when Rabbi Kiva was just starting to join the Torah community. And the Gemara says something striking. The Gemara says the reason why it rained for Rabbi Akiva is because he was Ma'avir al-Hamidos, and Rabbi Eliezer wasn't. There are plenty of good stories in the Talmud to corroborate what this means. But first of all, to be ma'avir al-hamidos means to be flexible, to be magnanimous. Gemara says, l'mi Hashem nosei avon, l'mi she'over al-pesha. It's a pasuk in Micha. If you said your tashlich, you would recognize it from tashlich. If you haven't said it yet, you have to loshana rabbah to say tashlich. And tashlich begins with this very point, is that Hashem will be nosei avon, which literally means he'll pick up our avera, which if you have the scales, the averus are on one side, the mitzvahs are on the other side. So if you pick up the averus, you see what's happening? The side with the zechuyos goes down. Your mitzvahs get heavier because someone is picking up, is lifting up your averus. So Hashem is only going to lift up our averus if we are over al pesha, if we in turn are forgiving for others. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer was so stubborn, he forced a cherem upon himself because he refused to back down on opinion, famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who always shows a flexibility. The very fact that he's a Baal Tshuva, what better flexibility is there than to be a Baal Tshuva? And that's something that can attain to all of us. I remember my first week in Israel, the year I spent in 1979, the yeshiva took us on this big tour on Friday night. We all took cabs into the old city. And we stayed before Shabbos, and then we went from Tish to Tish. We had various Tishes all over the old city, and then we walked back by the morning to Davin Masikin. So we stayed at all these Hasidic Tishes, and one Hasidic Rebbe was asking us where we're studying, and he said, he was asking us, well, are we studying in Eish HaTorah? It was a yeshiva that was just opening up in the old city. Are we studying in Eish HaTorah? So I said, no, I'm not studying in Eish HaTorah. I'm studying in Beis Medrash HaTorah. So he said, why not? Why aren't you studying in Eish HaTorah? So I said, because I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So then he said, why not? Right? So you all have a chance to be a Baal Tshuva. Right? Anyone who thinks that Baal Tshuva is for Eish HaTorah students is like Rabbi Eliezer and not like Rabbi Akiva. So he is the flexible one. So when he says, it started to rain immediately. So Avinu accesses the Father in God. Malkenu accesses the King in God. The King has to work with protocol. The Father may not have the wherewithal like a King has. And the King has to lack the protocol that the Father may be a little more magnanimous than the King. So we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, if we're like Kibonim, Im Kivonim, like we say just after we blow shofar, so do it this way, God. In Im Ka'avodim, if you're like a Melech and the rest of us are like Avodim, then do it this way. But either way, one way or the other, we ask you to exercise the ability like a Melech, but also to exercise the will like a father. So this is why we access both of these aspects by saying Avinu Malkeinu, and that is in that liturgy. Okay, so keep in mind the that in Avinu Malkeinu we refer to being written in five books. The five books are Kosveinu B'Sefer Chaim Tovim, Kosveinu B'Sefer Geula B'Yeshua, Kosveinu b'sefer parnasov ha'kalot, Kosveinu b'sefer zechuyos, Kosveinu b'sefer slicha mechila. This might be a bit of a stretch, but my hook is the second book. The second book is called Geula b'Yeshua, which is certainly Exodus. The second book of the Torah speaks about our Geula and Yeshua. The first book of the Torah is called in Chazal Sefer HaYashar. It's the book of Yashrus, famous Hakdama of the Netziv, that tells us that to be a Yashar, just to be straight arrow, to be a Beinoni, right in the middle of the road, is much greater than to be a Tzaddik. It's a very famous Hakdama of the Netziv to Sefer Bereishis, where he berates the Tzaddikim of his own time in the 19th century because they had no patience for people who weren't on their line. He said, you see that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, especially Avraham, had enduring patience and understanding for people who were not like him. And that's what made him the Yashar. So the Chaim Tovim are the people in Sefer Bereishis. The third book of the Torah has by far and away the most mitzvahs. It has 11% of the psukim of the Torah, but 44% of the mitzvahs of the Torah, a great significant standard deviation. And therefore, it's the book that assures us success in life. It's the Sefer Parnasa B'Chalkala. The fourth and fifth book, Sefer Zechuyos, is the fourth book is Mechalek Bein, the Tzaddik and the Rasha. There are all kinds of groups that identify themselves. Really, Sefer Bamidbar is a transitionary book that is constantly drawing separations. Really, you can see the Ramban makes this point in the Nazir in this direction, the Sota in that direction, the Tomei in this direction, El Gadol Umeda. Every story you see has something about dividing Zechuyos from one possibly even extreme to another. And then Devarim is our book of Hashem putting all that behind us and it's the Sefer Slicha Mechila. So it could be that the five Sfarim, Kosveinu B'Sefer, could be just like we say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sar Secha. That when we talk about tshuva, tshuva must be not just a return to you. It's a return to the Torah. Okay, the Gemara says something fascinating. Osios v'makor mayim chayim in Yirmiyahu Perek Beis. Halavai yozvyaz v'osi. Just keep my Torah. What it means to follow God per se, what it means to believe in God, what it means to have faith. These are very complicated issues and very private issues. Each individual's faith, if you saw my message today especially, I cited a book by David Gregory called How's Your Faith? It's a very private thing, and what's more important to the Jew is what we're actually doing, that we're returning to Torah. Okay, so I think that we move now towards we're just closing out a 40-day period that started with Rosh Chodesh Elul when we started blowing shofar, and this 40-day period ends with what we call Kol Nidre. And it's hard to fathom why we should associate the beginning of our holiest day with Hataras Nedarim. It's really a strange thing. The Gemara Nedarim says we should do Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we do. So why are we doing this again 10 days later? What's so big about Yom Kippur that should make us want to do Hataras Nedarim again? So I would like to suggest two explanations to this very quickly to understand the liturgy. I've spoken them out in the shir. I remember one time I gave a shir on this. I think it was on a Yom Kippur afternoon. But if you weren't there, either you went home during the break, so I'm going to tell you now. So the neder, Hataras Nedarim, the Mishnah Maseches Chagiga says, is Porchen Ba'avir. It's really not clear in the Torah that we can matir neder if the person is not my wife or my daughter. So where do we get that? A Beis Din or even a mumcha, yachid mumcha, can matir a neder of an individual. So the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim and Maseches Chagiga, by the way, goes through all these kinds of nimudim possibly in the Torah. And you can look in the beginning of Parshas Matos for some of Farshim and how they derive it. But it's not clear. So the Mishnah admits it's Porchen Ba'avir, it's flying in the air. So that could be the very nature of Yom Kippur. Without a Torah Shebaal Peh, without the explanation of oral tradition, we wouldn't even know how to observe Yom Kippur at all. The Tzedukim and the Purushim, the Karaites and the Rabbinites argued for generations about the nature of Yom Kippur. Right? The Karaites actually understand V'nisim Esnafshusechem to be Bekum V'asei, to actually do something positively afflicting. You know, you hit yourself, punch someone, right? Stand until you drop, So we understand the mitzvah saseh of V'nisim to be fulfilled by v'shev v'al taseh, by doing nothing. That's the Rambam's explanation in the Perush HaMishnah in the Krisis, why the Mishnah only lists two positive commandments that have a punishment of Kares. There are really three, Bris Milah, Karban Pesach, and Inui of Yom Kippur. It's a positive command. If we don't fulfill that positive command, we'll chayev Kares. But the answer is, the Rambam says that this positive command is different than all other positive commands in the Torah. Positive commands are observed by doing something. They're violated by doing nothing. This positive command is observed by doing nothing. It's violated by doing something, by eating and drinking. So the Kol Nidre is a beautiful way to start Yom Kippur. The Mishnah in Maseches Tainis says that Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av are the two happiest days of the year. Tu B'Av because of Shiduchim, and Yom Kippur because on Yom Kippur the oral law was delivered to us. Moshe came down from Har Sinai the final time on the 10th of Tishrei with the wonderful news that we were forgiven for the Egel and all those Halacha Moshe Misinais and Torah Shebaal Peh. And he delivered them, and that was Tovim Dodecha Miyayin, and that was a reason to celebrate. So don't be surprised that the very essence of the holiday needs Torah Shebaal Peh, and the very next holiday, observed 4 days later, needs Torah Shebaal Peh much more than all the other holidays put together. I don't need so much Torah Shebaal Peh to know what a matzah is, to know what maror is, to know what it means to tell the story of Egypt. But without Torah Shebaal Peh, would I know what a Kriyat Hadar is? Would I know what an arava? What's arava? Well, everything is nisuch hamayim. Everything is halacha Moshe Sinai on Sukkos. Sukkos, Yeshen, Sora, Kapasksiv, every single point of Sukkos is Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the Soloveitchik explained this. He said that Sukkos is like the activities of Yom Kippur put into action. The Torah Shebaal Peh delivered on Yom Kippur, put into action. The very nature of Yom Kippur is dependent on Torah Shebaal Peh. And look in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur Day, in Yishayahu Perek Nun Ches, he berates the people for sitting in sackcloth. He berates the people for self-flagellation. He says, that's not the fast I want. Halo zetzom evchoreinu. The fast I want is pros l'rayv lachmecha. Share your food with the poor. How do I know that speech was delivered on Yom Kippur? I know, because it's the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. No, because in the middle of the Haftorah, he begs the people to set all the slaves free. He tells them in many different ways, four different ways. He tells them, set those slaves free. That's a Yom Kippur message. Mistamet was a Yovel Yom Kippur message. Okay, so we can pinpoint the exact day that Yishayahu spoke, Perek Nun Ches, and it makes, therefore, the perfect Yom Kippur Haftorah. Okay, so that's one reason to start Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, in order to associate the day with this quintessential Torah Shebaal Peh. Another explanation has to do with a Gemara in the Sechus Ksuvus that says that if someone built a condition into the Kiddushin, right? We don't do this anymore. The Chachamim have told us a few hundred years ago to stop doing this. But there used to be Tznoyim in Kiddushin, like a woman might say, man says to a woman, you are betrothed to me on the condition that I have no blemishes, that I'm healthy, that I'm rich, that I'm righteous, that I can lay. You know, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Ches, Mem Tes Nun, gives all kinds of such conditions. And one of those conditions is, Haret Mekudesh Estea Menash She'ein Olayech or Ein Olay Nidorim. Or, Ein Olay or Ein Olayech Mumim. You have no blemishes, you have no outstanding Nidorim. I don't want to be married to someone who took a neder not to that wine and meat and perfume and is forbidden to you. I want to be married to someone who enjoys life. All right, so tell me now, do you have any outstanding nedarim? And then she says, no outside, not a single neder. And then they get married, and then he finds out that she has 500 nedarim on her. So the Gemara says, Einam Kudeshes. She doesn't even need a get, right? So the Gemara says, what happens if she did that with a mum? Right, so okay, also it's not mikudeshes. But what happens if she goes and she goes to a doctor and cures the mum? She cuts off the mum, whatever it is. The Gemara says ain't mikudeshes. It doesn't change the fact that she lied at the time of the wedding, or that he lied at the time of the wedding. At the time of the wedding, there was a mum. Now there's no mum. It doesn't matter. But what happens if he gets hataras nedarim? At the time of the wedding, he lied and he had a neder when he said he didn't. Then he goes for Ataras Nadarim. What does the Gemara say? Can you feel this? If you feel it, you should be smiling now. If he gets Ataras Nadarim, the Gemara says, it is Mikudeshes. Why? He lied. He said he has no Nadarim. Because what does a neder do? A neder is Okir Miokir. The Gemara discusses whether it changes it from the moment or it changes it from the time that it was made. The answer the Gemara says is that if you do Ataras Nadarim, it wipes out the neder as if though the person never made it. That is tshuva. That's what tshuva is. On Yom Kippur, on Aseres Yemei tshuva, that is exactly what tshuva is. It makes it as if though all that pork I ate this past year, I'm not serious, all that shatnez I wore this past year, all these arayos, all these other things, if you did tshuva, not only this, the Gemara tells us that if you did tshuva me'ava, that the tshuva, the repentance, wipes out the bad deeds. But the tshuva me'ava is coming from such a good place that it makes the pork I ate matzah on Yom Kippur. Matzah on not Yom Kippur, I'm just testing if anyone's listening. Matzah on Pesach. It makes it as if though you ate matzah on Pesach. It makes the pork a mitzvah. Imagine that. Right? Just b'derech tzachos. That's why when God went up to Yeravam ben Nevat and he said, Yeravam, how about if you and I and Ben David, Mashiach, take a walk in Gan Eden? Right? Remember what Yeravam ben Nevat's response to that was? Right? Remember? He said, Mi Barosh. Who's walking in front? Me or Mashiach? So Hashem says, well, Mashiach is. So then Yeravam said, for then forget it. I'm not interested. What is this? What's he talking about? So does Yeravam ben Nevat, the biggest Abarion of all time, the man who loses his Olam Haba, Rachti as Arabim, he should be walking with Ben David, Mashiach, in Gan Eden? What is that? So Hashem was asking him, if you do tshuva me'ahava, because you're such a Rasha, right? The bigger the Rasha, the more the tshuva can accomplish. The bigger the fish, the bigger the fry. So when Yeravam ben Nevat asked God, who's walking in front? Mi barosh, right? So then it's we see that it's not me'ava. What's in it for me? That's tshuva me'ira, right? So if Yeravam ben Nevat had just said, wow, that sounds like a great deal, God. Okay, I'm in. Then it could be tshuva me'ava, and then he would have been in front. But once he asks mi barosh, forget it, all bets are off. Okay? So that is two reasons for Kol Nidre starting the Yom Kippur liturgy. And I must say, now that I've been doing Kol Nidre for the last few years, I can't help but I get so emotional when I say Ki Hinei Kachomer. I think my favorite prayer of the entire year. And yet, what you have to do is you have to see Yirmiyahu chapter 18, because that's what it's based on. And it is so, the Hebrew is so brilliant, because it's written in rhyme, it's written in alphabetical order, and it is such a as perfect as a poem and a prayer can be. And it is about how we're like putty, you know, we're putty in God's hand originally, and he made us at a potter's wheel, right? And you ever see a pot, or you know, an ancient potter's wheel, you know, when it goes bad, you ever go to one of those programs where they let you make a vase or something, and you just go a little off and then the whole thing is broken, and then you have to start all over again. That's us. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us second chances. That's amazing. Right? And that's really what a Seris Mei Tshuva is all about. Okay, so what I'd like to continue is the liturgy of these 40 days for Sfardim has been starting with Slichas for quite a long time. But of course, Ashkenazim, we have a little less Slichas. And I think that the 2 weeks or so from Slichas to the end of Yom Kippur is meant to access 3 important words of our liturgy, and then we run through this on Yom Kippur again. The 3 words are Slach Lanu, Mechal Lanu, Kaper Lanu. Slach Lanu is a very easy word to define, and it starts the process. If you're standing on a crowded train, well, not in COVID, but if you're standing on a train and you accidentally step on someone's foot in a crowded bus in Israel, right? You're not going to turn to that person and say, can you mocha me? Right? You're never going to say that. No, you're going to just quickly say, slicha, 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 slach, slicha is what you say to someone when you step on their foot by accident. You know, you do an accident. You're the person is going to, of course, they're going to forgive you. Slicha, slicha, right? Excuse me, pardon me, right? So that gets us started. That's the slichas, right? And on Yom Kippur, that's Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is pure slichas. Chevra Kol Nidre, we're doing 2 Kol Nidres on Sunday night. And really, Kol Nidre is no longer than the regular slichas, even between Rosh Hashanah and before Rosh Hashanah. It could be 20 minutes. It's a short little slichas. If you sing everything, and you could drag it out, but we are having a regular Kol Nidre, and like everything else, this Rosh Hashanah season is things are not drawn out so much. So we're trying to stretch out the davening in different places, and stretch out the amount of space that we have. So we're making multiple davenings in the same place. And we're trying to use every nook and cranny of our institution, the Beis Medrash, the social hall, the Dr. Sukkot. So hopefully we'll keep on expanding this and the times. So Kol Nidre, you'll just see is if you the second one can go very quickly. It's really just the slichas. So that's where we say slach lanu. More difficult word is mechal lanu. It's difficult to translate mechal lanu. Most English translations read pardon. The reason why I submit to you that it's a difficult word to translate is something the Rosh points out in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. He says, I looked throughout the whole Tanakh, I guess he spent the whole, you know, he went through, maybe he had a concordance. I looked throughout the whole Tanakh and I couldn't find the word mechal. Mechila is not a biblical word. It's a Mishnaic word. It's a Talmudic word. It doesn't appear. Now, the Shoresh does appear. Shoresh appears in the Torah that after Kriyas Yamsuf, it says that Miriam went with the women with Mecholos. And when Yiftach came home successfully, having defeated the Ammonites, it says his daughter came out with Mecholos. Maze, what are Mecholos? So Mecholos, we understand, are dancers. Dancers dancing in a circle, right? Like Choser Chalila means to return the circle, right? So Chalil, bagpipes, because they probably because people when dancing they danced in circles. I think that's where it comes from. So mechila has to be something that involves is a reciprocal return. I return to God, God returns to me. Shuva elai v'ashuva elayich. Right. So this now turns to shacharis on Yom Kippur. If you look at the prayers we say on Shacharis, and especially some of the poems we say when we start the Chazaras HaShatz, read them. They're written in cryptic Hebrew, they're difficult Hebrew. Sometimes, it's nice, we're saying it quickly, we're rushing through the davening. Forget about the Hebrew. Read the English, because it's such beautiful stuff. And it speaks about man yearning for reconciliation with God, and that Yom Kippur is our opportunity. It says, God, I it's sort of like a marriage relationship. Zecharti lo chesed nirayach avas klulusayach. By the time of Yirmiyahu, the marriage went bad. It turned south. So Yirmiyahu says, let's remember the early part of our marriage. Zecharti lo chesed nirayach motzochin bamidbar am siridei chorev aloch la'ogiyo Yisrael. So when we're begging for reconciliation, we first have to want to, obviously. We're just going through the motions on Yom Kippur. There's no mechila. Right, so slicha is just like a cursory. I'm sorry. Pardon me, but usually mechila is actually translated as pardon. It might be like what the governor might do to someone on death row just before midnight. So a pardon is much more than a slicha, right? And if you just look through, I just made a list of some of the prayers. Atahu Elokeinu, it's all about God's infinite majesty, His eternity. The Maaseh Elokeinu, the deeds of God, contrast with the deeds of man, right? Melech Elyon as opposed to the Melech Evyon. Maaseh Elokeinu, Avo Maaseh Adam. It's humbling, right? Yom Kippur morning is meant to be humbling as we're starting to get hungry. It's not the time for this at night. At night, Adarava, when you're in Shul on Yom Kippur night, you're more full than any other Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. Usually you're going home to eat and you're hungry. Tonight you just ate. Right, it's during the day that we start to feel the pangs of our human frailties, right? And yet, towards the end just before we get up to Kedusha, there's a beautiful prayer called Asher Ometz Tehilasecha. If you want to just write it down, it's page 398 in the Art Scrolls. And God, the purpose of this prayer. Is after we have just compared man to God in so many ways, this prayer is beautiful. It compares man to angels. Man is compared to angels. And the prayer shows why God prefers man to angels. Right? How do we know historically that God prefers man to angels? Because he gave us the Torah. He didn't give it to them. Remember the Gemara and Shabbos? The angels wanted it. The angels are perfect. They're going to keep all these staros of the Torah. But God, but Moshe was the one who convinced them. But no, we need it because we're imperfect. And God likes us. The fact that we go from imperfection to make ourselves better with this Torah, that's better for him than you taking it. Right? So the Zohar says, Mekadesha Shimcha Ba'olam Kishem Shematishim Oso B'Shmei Marom. That let us sanctify God the way he's sanctified in heaven. But the same Zohar says that the angels don't get to sanctify God in heaven unless some Jew someplace on earth is saying, Kadosh, 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 Hashem's Bekos, Baruch Hu, Atzmo Adonai. And it's painful to consider that I can't imagine all of Jewish history where there was some weeks, maybe even a few months, where was it true? Every Jew in the world wasn't in the minyan. I don't know. Maybe there must have been some, but that was the halacha. That's what we were supposed to do. And sometimes v'shev al taseh. Sometimes shev is shev al. You know, sit down and do nothing is the taseh. Is what we needed to do. But anyway, as we close out Shacharis, we Al Yisrael Ga'avaso, what a beautiful prayer, page 400 in the Art Scrolls. It shows why God has chosen Israel, not just Israel over the other nations, but Israel over the angels. So then Haderes V'Hamuna, then the reconciliation can begin. And then we go into Kedusha with Hilkel Orach Din and to speak about how we can Mekadesh Hashem. We human frailty as we are, who are here today and food for worms tomorrow, can nonetheless Mekadesh Hashem. And then we move to Musaf, where we have the Avoda, man is vulnerable, life is capricious. We move to atonement by referring to the Asur HaRigin Malchus and Mamish echoing the liturgies and essences of what occurred in the Mikdash. And the main focus of that day was the choice of two goats that the Mishnah says were exactly alike in size and value and height. And if one had a dot in this part of the eye, the other one had to also. You couldn't use the two of them. And they go to exact opposite directions based on something as capricious as the lot. So this, I think I spoke about this past Shabbos, as best Rosh Hashanah, and that is meant to be a humbling experience. And that's where we've fully experienced this understanding of the place of God, angels, and man, that we can now move to the full kapara. All right? So the kapara comes with mincha, with reading Yonah, with Ne'ilah, and let me explain a few of these as we draw to a close now. Yonah is each and every one of us. The Vilna Gaon says that we all have a Yonah in us where we're called upon by God to make something better. Our father's name is Amitai because our purpose in life is to find truth, to find the underlying truth of why we're here. But alas, most people prefer to find things of beauty. We want beautiful kalim. We want a beautiful house. We want a beautiful spouse. We want beautiful, you know, everything that people can be proud of and say, oh, look at the man that woman has. Look at the house she lives in. Look at the car he's driving. So we go to the port of Yafo to find beauty. And then we want to take a ship to escape our obligations, to take it to the one city in Tanakh. I must tell you, look up this city. You can find it in the Shir Shel Yom of Yom Sheni. There's one city where this is the city where all gold and silver and gems and all precious items, it's called Tarshish, Anios Tarshish. You take a boat to Tarshish for all the beauty in life. And the Yonah ben Amitai's of the world would much prefer to go to a place called Yafo and find a ship to Tarshish. And God tells us, man, where are you? What are you doing? Kum leich. Get up. Right? God wants us to rise, to get up. Not just leich, kum leich. So what do? Vayered Yafo. We go down to Yafo. Vayered besocha aniya. Right? We go down into the ship. And then when we get into the ship, vayered into the sleeping quarters. And how is it that we're able to fall asleep when the sailors are all trying to keep this ship from capsizing? Any of you ever go deep sea fishing? Right? Did you get sick? Did you have to throw up the first time you went? This ship, I don't get it. There are all kinds of sailors on top of it, you know, throwing everything overboard. And what's Yonah doing? Vayered, vayered, vayered. And when the Tanakh describes what state they found him, right? It's, how do you say he was sleeping in biblical Hebrew? Ishan, right? No, he wasn't sleeping. What's the word the Tanakh uses? Vayera dam, as if though the Tanakh wants to stress, four times this man goes down deeper and deeper and deeper into the abyss, because when all you're doing in life is chasing after Yafo and chasing after Tarshish you are diving into the abyss. How much further can you go than the inside of that ship when everyone else is plotting because the sea is capsizing them and you're sleeping comfortably? Not for long, because Yonah can even go further, deeper in as they throw him overboard. And somehow, he manages to survive this. Because on his way down, he changed his mind. And however you want to understand them, it's a metaphor, whatever it is, that what he went through for those 3 days. I submit to you the 3 days he spent in that whale is the same as the 3 days that Abraham spent on his way to the Akedah. It's the same 3 days that Bnei Israel spent at Har Sinai preparing for Mamad Har Sinai. It's 3 days, it's the same 3 days that Esther fasted to get God's graces. There's a lot of this I can compare to, but I just want to say that Yonah goes through this transformation. It could be Lahavdil, maybe like those people who jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and on the way down, they regret it and they survive. There's about 500 such people and there's a society of the Golden Gate Bridge survivors. And Yonah on his way down to further Yerida, he says, no, God, I want another chance. I want to get back up. You told me kum and I did nothing but yored, you're Adam. And Yom Kippur tells us that I'm giving you a hand. I'm going to give you a hand. Because Kapar, the name of the holiday, it's a very, very versatile word in the Torah. Extremely versatile in the Mishnah. Kufra, Kafra, it's a Kafrisin. It is so many things. It's about 12 different words I found in the Jastrow a Brown Driver and Briggs lexicon to the Old Testament. So it's one of the most versatile Hebrew words in the Tanakh. And I tried to find one underlying commonality to all these words. Why does Yaakov say Ulai achapro panav? Maybe I can chaper in my brother's face when I give him all these gifts. Why do we call the top of the Aron a kaporis, right? I would like to tell you that I think that the cover between the Kodesh Kedoshim called the paroches is a word like this, like Simla and Salma, where pei resh chaf and kaf pei resh are similar words. What do they all have in common? They all involve something covering. It's a cover. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, you lift up your hand and you tell me you want to get up. It doesn't matter how far down you went. I can help you up. No one should feel I've gone too far. Now, of course, you know, based on certain behaviors and based on certain patterns, it can become a lot more difficult, no doubt. Right? Some people struggle with eating issues, you know, all kinds of issues all the time. Right? We set up we sometimes need help. It's one of the geniuses of Weight Watchers and Alcoholics Anonymous is to make sure that you get help. Set aside those impediments, right? But with this slicha mechila kapara of all the tefillos of Yom Kippur, it's here to tell us that and it's reminders and constantly in all of our liturgies that there's always a way out. Yonah is not out of the clear, certainly not even in chapter 2. He will again ask for God to take his life, something he does 4 times in this book. Right? Yonah is a very troubled personality in our book. He is tasked with doing something he does not want to do. Right? We all have things we don't like to do, we don't want to do. Right? The message of Yonah, I think, and with this I'll close, is that we shouldn't second guess God. Right? We do learn from people in the Tanakh that it's acceptable to question God. Yirmiyahu says, Madua derech Hashem tzolecha, but he says, Tzadikata Hashem, I don't mean to get the best of you. I just want a little explanation of this. Right? Why did the wicked do so well? How am I supposed to get people to be tzadikim? You know, Avram asked the same question. Hafti spet tzadikim Russia? So we can ask God. You can ask God about various events in history, some recent, some more in the past. But in the end, thy will be done. In the end, Avraham trudges on to the Akedah, even though he knows that God is asking him to do something he despises. His wife will not go for it, and everyone else will call him a murderer, but he says, I'm going through with it. Because he trusts that God said, Yitzchak Yikarei L'Chazara, I trust that what you told me before. I don't get both of them. I don't understand how they can both work, but that's just me. Right? So, Chevra, that's between us and God's will. In the end, we're just Chomer B'yad HaYotzer. And I hope that we can constantly use our liturgies. My purpose here in this time we had together was to remind us of some of the things we're saying, all, not just at this time of year, but all year. Okay, I end where I began, that God is in the present. He's not HaMelech HaYoshev, he's Melech Yoshev. He's not Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, he's a Melech HaMishpat. He's not HaMavarech HaSemo Yisrael Shalom, he's Oseh HaShalom. It's all in the present. Okay, that's when I say my brachas in the morning, I don't say She'osoli Kol Tzarki, I say Ha'oseli Kol Tzarki. I don't say Asher Hechin Mitzadei Gavur, I say HaMechin Mitzadei Gavur. Right? The Oseorim Gedolim Kilo Olam Chazdo. Okay, Chevra, let's all be in the present. Let's be there for our loved ones. Let's be there for others. Okay? Make someone happy. Brighten up someone's day. Everyone be healthy, be safe. I look forward to seeing you, Bezrus Hashem, in Shul some form. And let's get back in the game. Stay safe, everybody. Stay healthy. I wish everyone a gemar chasim atov, la'alta v'chaim tovim. And please, if you have an easy fast, and if you have any questions, I'll be on the shul. Anyone knows anyone who needs anything before the Yom Tov or anything of that sort, please point them in my direction.
Shalom, Rabbi.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Gemar tov, everyone. Yanni, Paul, Azi, Mendy, Amelia, Nechama.
Gemar tov, good night.
Gemar tov.
Yeah, so.
Tov. Well.